Russia and China have declared war on the United States. Welcome to This Present Truth. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. The program, thispresenttruth.com, the website, thispresenttruth.com. Today is the 5th of November, 2025. Russia and China declared war on the United States of America on February 4th, 2022, at the Beijing Olympics. President Vladimir Putin and President Xi Jinping of China at the Beijing Olympics, they deepened a partnership, and they decided that the two nations would join in on a partnership in response to Western sanctions following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russia was forced to make a move militarily in the Ukraine because of the expansion of America's CIA and the European nations, basically the British, the French, Germans, who knew that, and they these nations in Europe, the United States, realized that to rule the world with a globalist plan, Russia must be targeted, because the Central Asia, without controlling Central Asia, there can be no rule of the world. From some of the programs I've listened to, I believe that what has been stated is accurate. There had been plans to break Russia, to divide Russia into, I think, 7 to 10 different regions, to shatter Russia as a country. Exactly what was done in Yugoslavia here at the in the last century. You take a nation that you cannot control, it's too big, and you shatter it. You break it apart into smaller nations. This is the plan with Russia. China has always been aware. This is what the United States has done. We did this in Iraq. Now Iraq has been divided into three sections. The plan for Russia was exactly the same objective, the same plan. But over the years, China with Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping he's a forward thinker, I would put it that way, meaning that with the leaders of the Communist Party, CCP, in China in the past, prior to Xi Jinping, they have always just tried to hold things, keep things stable. Xi Jinping, being the Maoist, like he and his father were, followers of Mao till they were betrayed. They were both put in prison. But still, with Xi Jinping, his communism is much more pure than even Chairman Mao. What do I mean by that? Mao was being directed and funded by the Rockefellers, by the United States Defense Department, agencies within the U.S. government, whereas Xi Jinping has been, you might say, drifting away from U.S. control. But Xi Jinping had enough, he was wise enough to be careful, because China is dependent upon America, the West, for the sale of goods and income. even though China is expanding globally in Central America, South America, Africa, etc. Xi Jinping is also, like Putin and like Donald Trump and like Benjamin Netanyahu, is a great, he studies history. History is important for leaders of the world. And I say these four men are probably the best history, understand history better than most people, most of the previous presidents of this country. But Xi Jinping realized that China cannot make a go of destroying relationships with the United States and even abandon, to a great degree, the objectives of the United States in China without Russia. Putin also realizes and did realize that Russia's always been the target of the royals of Europe and the powers in the United States, the Five Eyes nations, always been a target. Putin knows they will always be a target. And with Putin, with President Putin and President Xi, they also realize they're not fighting a nation, the United States, per se, as a nation. That's not what the war is about. They are fighting a small group of very powerful individuals that control corporations, that control basically militaries, governments, not necessarily at war with the people of the U.S., but with not all of the politicians in the U.S., but more so the ruling powers of England, France, Germany, and the United States. I guess I should explain myself. I know that's what you're thinking. The war isn't against the people of the U.S., but against the powers in the U.S. and the powers in England that Putin and Xi Jinping are at war with. Ruling families, ruling powers that were established at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. These are their families, actually, in Europe, Rothschilds, in the U.S., Rockefellers. So Xi Jinping is aware of China's history and the role that the United States played going back to the 1860s and before in China. And it wasn't necessarily so much the United States of America. It was more a family called the Rockefeller family who would sell kerosene to the Chinese and then the lamps, kerosene lamps, that have basically controlled this family, has had a big say in what happens in China. In the 60s, 70s, 80s, the Rockefeller family had devised a plan to move industry out of the United States of America to China, to use China as a manufacturing base, not the United States. Steel mills, textile, etc., etc., was moved to China. And Xi Jinping is aware of the family that has been successful in making China what it is today. Without the Rockefeller family and the families of the West, China would not be what it is today, the powerhouse that it is. Vladimir Putin is also aware of the war on Russia in the last 140 years, was also directed out of Europe, England, the city of London, always against Russia. Lenin was a product of the British, sent into Russia to overthrow the Russian government and bring about the Bolshevik Revolution. So these men realize and are very aware of the power of these two families in Europe, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers in the United States. In previous programs, I have done, there are programs where I've discussed the Rockefeller family going back to 1860, 70, 1880. By 1889, they owned New York City. By early in the next century, they ruled and controlled, and America became their property. The United States of America presently is a property, really, of one family. Europe has been, you might say, property of a family also, the Rothschilds. So Putin and Xi Jinping are not at war with nations, they're at war with families. Vladimir Putin was interviewed by Tucker Carlson last year. It was this year, actually. And Putin, in the conversation, Putin alluded a few times not to the powers being the United States, but he alluded to a group of people that hold the power, that make the decisions internationally out of the city of London. He didn't say that directly, but he was implying Pilgrim Society, a group of secret, powerful people that started a secret group of controlling people in the city of London. 1901, was it? Maybe it was 1902. In January, expanded, had a sister chapter in New York City the same year in July. And the sister chapter in the United States was hosted by the Rockefeller family, John D. Rockefeller, Sr. and Jr., and in Europe, Rothschilds. And Putin was alluding to Pilgrim Society in the conversation with Tucker Carlson. Xi Jinping is very aware of this group of people. It's a not well-known group, but all the major, most of the presidents of this country, the Bushes, Obama, Clintons, either know of it, work with that group, or members of that group, Henry Kissinger, Dulles Brothers, after World War II, during World War II, most anybody that is somebody in this country and in Europe is a member or affiliated with Pilgrim Society. So Putin and Xi Jinping, they know that they are at war with a group. And this group controls, basically has its fingers in and controls, has ties to corporations, to government in this country and abroad, to industry, shipping, weapons, war, militaries, and they realize who they are at war with. So with this partnership, I've talked about this, but it's very important once again to cover it, because what we're seeing right now with what is happening in this country with this Mondami, who is now the mayor of New York City. This is Pilgrims. This is Rockefeller. This is the people that rule this country. This doesn't happen in a vacuum. It is a plan, a strategy, and part of the strategy that we're witnessing in this country right now, I can try to stay linear, is the removal of Donald J. Trump from the presidency of the United States of America. Not through death or sickness, but actually through exactly what happened when the British sent Lenin into Russia to cause a overthrow. This is what is happening presently. Behind all of these protests, the individuals, whether they be Black Lives Matter, Antifa, etc., etc., it is all being directed by, I believe, this group, Pilgrim Society. They have their hand in everything. They direct pretty much everything, and Donald Trump has been their biggest obstacle. Putin is a major obstacle. Xi Jinping, an obstacle. Benjamin Netanyahu is an obstacle. These men know who rules the world. So on the 4th of February, 2022, again, at the Beijing Olympics, President Putin, President Xi, they knew that this was the opportune, a perfect time to publicly announce a partnership. By announcing the partnership, they were also inferring a straight-out war against families, against the agencies and the governments that these families oversee, the corporations that they control, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Apple, Amazon. They fund everything to these corporations. They declared war on the United States, and they made a statement that from this point into the future, these two countries, Russia and China, will be the countries that basically host all of the major summits that will take place, like the ASEAN summit that just took place here in the last month. Since the time of World War I, World War II, the United States has always been the country to host summits, but no longer. I don't believe it was a basic declaration of war. I believe it was a straight-in-your-face statement to the United States, the nations of the world, when they heard of the summit and were received the transcripts, they realized this was an open declaration of war, not with bullets, but in the shift of power, that it was basically, you are no longer the families, the Pilgrim Society, you are no longer going to dictate to Russia and China what your objectives are. And why would they have the, I guess you could say, the audacity to even state or think they could go to war and declare war on Pilgrim Society / America / England? Well, Putin had been working through the years, 20 years, roughly on a plan called the BRICS Nations, a group of nations that would work together economically, militarily if it need be, diplomatically, and they would, through their partnerships, Brazil, India, South Africa, China, Russia, they would have enough GDP resources to actually begin to, you might say, the ice shelf in Antarctica, break away from the control of the West / Pilgrim Society. In my view, they did it. In the meantime, there have been more nations that have now become partners in the BRICS plan. This is one of the objectives of Donald Trump. He doesn't want to drive these nations away. He wants to work with them. He realizes the potential of the BRICS nations. They can and will be able to separate themselves from the economic, you might say, stranglehold of the West, especially the United States. And this got me to thinking, did Vladimir Putin, was he had already anticipating moving troops into Ukraine before the summit or before the Beijing Olympics meeting with Xi Jinping? Did he inform Xi Jinping of his intentions of being forced into Ukraine because of America's continuing, it was an old Obama plan, even going back further than Obama, to break Russia's hold economically, maybe not militarily, but economically and politically, with the surrounding nations and with the nations of the world, to demonize Russia to the point where the U.S. could diplomatically destroy Russia. They've tried, haven't done it, will continue to attempt to destroy Russia diplomatically, but I do believe that Vladimir Putin had no choice, but he wasn't going to do anything in Ukraine until he had an ally. And what an ally to have, China. He has extra industry, an extra industrial base for weapons, technology, etc. Was a brilliant strategy, actually, and it benefits Russia and China. Both these countries want to break away from the families, especially the Rockefeller family system of the West. In Europe, well, They want to break away from that too. That's always been an enemy. The European nations, especially after World War II, began to target Russia. and they won't stop. This is not going to end. This is going to end. This conflict with Russia and the European nations and the United States will end, I believe, next year, 2026, in the summer. Russia is going to be forced, I believe, from all indications, into the Middle East. And and I'm going to touch briefly on this matter of Russia being forced south with some other nations. I'm going to have to touch on this right now. I can't wait to do. I need to address it right now. There is a prophecy in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, there is a prophecy about a future war in our time, in which Russia, I call it a Russian war. It's called a war between Gog and Magog, with Iran, Turkey, Ethiopia, Libya, other nations surrounding to the south of Russia. Before I get into it, I just want to say that the podcasts are on the website, thispresenttruth.com, thispresenttruth.com. Go to the podcast section. You'll have the Present Truth programs, or you'll have the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs. I'm going to do a much more detailed account in the Olive Tree program section about this war in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I'm going to just rehearse it briefly because I mentioned it. Vladimir Putin. Well, let me back up. In the prophecy, Russia will be a nation that will be a guard or a protection for the other nations that are mentioned in that, in those chapters. Turkey and Ethiopia, Iran is also, Persia is mentioned, and Russia is to be a guard, a protector for these nations. From who? America, NATO forces. Russia will have the military strength, economic ability to help these nations. They will together, collectively, meet in an area in the Jordan, the present nation of Jordan, east of the Jordan River, and they will come with their armies to occupy that area. Another point is Russia is reluctant. This nation, Gog, in the land of Magog, with the families of Meshech and Tubal, Moscow, are reluctant. They don't want to come. Russia does not want to have to play that card in the poker game. And so Russia is reluctant, not willing, but is going to be forced according to the way it's presented in chapter 38. God says he's going to put hooks in the jaws of Russia. Hook. Many hooks. One of the big hooks, the major hook, with the major line, you might say, in this tug of war, is America and the plans of the military and the CIA, the industrial complex in this country, with the English and the European nations, which would be, I will also mention, you can write me at Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And I am going to increase the programs in the days to come. There is quite a bit that I have not covered in the last 100 days, and I've been waiting for the different things in my life to, you might say, become stable. And they have been stabilizing. So I'm looking forward to doing these programs, because we are, before I continue with the Russia war, we have a conflict in this country that we're not going to be able to dodge. We're not going to dodge Donald Trump being replaced by a new president illegally. You think it can't happen? He was replaced once already by an illegal imposter, Joe Biden. He will be replaced again shortly by another set of illegal circumstances in future programs. I'll give more detail, but right now I want to continue with what's going to happen in the great Russian war that's going to take place. During the time of the Soviet Union, Russia was working with a group of nations, and together these nations were, you might say, a wall against American expansion in that Eastern Europe. And Russia was also, you might say, a bulwark, a resistance to America's, we were becoming more, we have vassal states, and we wanted vassal states in Central Europe, South America, Central America, Africa, the Far East. We have vassal states already in, you might say, compadres in Europe that really are extensions of the United States, though England is still attempting to control and has been controlling the United States for still over 150 years to a great degree. But a prophecy that had to be fulfilled was the prophecy, you might say, that occurred with Ronald Reagan late in his term when he told Gorbachev to tear down the wall, tear down this wall. That was the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. From that point into the future, Russia had to, you might say, grow, learn to use her wings in a solo fashion, not depending on other nations to be available to help Russia protect herself from the plans of the families of the West. Ezekiel 38 says that Russia is going to be a protector for the nations that send their troops and armies to the nation of Jordan. So to fulfill that prophecy, Israel had to disconnect, had to through force abandon the other Soviet nations. And it was treacherous. Russia was in treacherous waters during the 90s, late 90s. Well, from the time of George Jr. through Bill Clinton's term into the George Bush Jr. term, from the time of George Sr., then to George Jr. after Bill Clinton, Russia had to fend for herself. She was in rough waters, treacherous waters, but Russia did quite well. It's very interesting how God would force Russia out of that block of nations. But before Russia was thrown out into that treacherous sea, something happened in about the mid-70s in Eastern Europe, eventually in Poland, Hungary, and then eventually Russia. And what it would be is this. I can liken it to what happened in the United States starting with the election and the swearing in of John Kennedy, our president, the Jesus movement. It's what it's documented in history, a movement that was referred to as the Jesus movement, the baby boom generation children meeting Christ, starting with the election of John F. Kennedy. That began a revival, a work of the Holy Spirit in America, specifically directed, targeting young people, Jewish and Gentile young people in the United States of America. The Baby Boom Jesus Movement, and from about 1960 to 1976, as the Baby Boom Generation, a Jesus Movement, began to wane, a new movement, you might say, began to wax in Russia, in Eastern Europe, eventually would spread into Russia. Russia had its, you might say, revival and turn away from satanic communism, God-hating communism, to the religious people again turning to their religion, which was basically the Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox Church. By this time, there was also the beginning of, you might say, evangelical Christians and other churches in Russia that were now allowed to begin to worship God openly and freely, not just the Russian Orthodox Church, but other religions also, other, you might say, different members in the body of Christ through different organizations. So Russia was beginning to have a change in the hearts of the people, so that by the time that the Berlin Wall would come down in the late 80s, you had about 15 years where there was a beginning, a shift, and a return once again, an exiting of the communistic beliefs, which were a complete failure. And there was a new hope, trusting God once again for the future of Russia. And the young people were at the core of the change that would take place in Russia in the following decade and a half after, from the mid-70s. And then by the early 90s, there was a return and there was a fire once again, spiritually, a new direction in the hearts of the Russian people to, through faith, to Christ, and it began to, you might say, take, in spite of the hardships that would occur during the 90s, up until Vladimir Putin became president, there was hope, there was a need to trust in God, to look to God for help, which they did. We in this country should be looking to God for help, and there are those in this country that are. But for the most part, there are those who have been deceived to look to the government for help. The same mistake that was made in Bolshevik Russia in 1917, 18, and on. We're repeating the direction is going to fail. There's no hope for the United States of America. The United States, if Donald Trump could turn everything around, there is still no hope for this country. The major block of individuals in this country that will lead this country in the next decade and the following decade, America won't be here then, but should the country make it through this next 8 years, they're uneducated. They are politically ruined. They are uneducated. They do not have the ability to run this country. There will be no diplomats. There will be no high-tech, other than in high-tech, there will be no one with the abilities to direct, how do I phrase it? If manufacturing comes back, those that would lead the manufacturing, new industries would have to come from outside the U.S. because the pool of experienced individuals that can, let's say, shipbuilding, they don't exist. There are no individuals young enough to bring back shipbuilding for this country once again. It's over. There will never again be corporations, companies, individuals capable of building ships. Very soon, there won't be the manpower with the ability intellectually to build these big airlines, the big planes. We are doomed. This country's doomed. Going back to Russia, we see prophecy being fulfilled when Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, bring down this wall." That was prophecy. Russia had to detach again from the countries in the Soviet bloc. Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, has to recover from the century of, almost a century, 80 years of continued conflict. She has to recover to become great diplomatically, politically, economically, militarily. Militarily, she's always had military strength. But Russia needed someone who had the ability to bring a destroyed, it'd be like bringing an old aircraft carrier out of mothballs. And for 80 years, the aircraft carrier has been sitting in dry dock. And there's really no one that has the ability to take what exists and engineer to take a nation the size of Russia and once again build, make it a nation that is great. Donald Trump, his phrase, make America great again. Well, Vladimir Putin has done just that with Russia. And it's in the Bible. And it would take faithful, God-fearing people in Russia, along with a president that had the ability to look at the problems within Russia itself, the thieves within, the adversary within, and the enemies without. Then Putin had to, and his name, Putin, literally means put in. Put in. I have no doubt he was put in by God because he had to make Russia great to fulfill Bible prophecy. He was put in by God. And he has done exactly that from the very first day of this century. He has methodically worked with the nations surrounding Russia at a distance, diplomatically. He is the individual that is credited with bringing into existence the BRICS countries. To build a ship economically with trade, with manufacturing, to build another vessel apart from the Rockefeller globalist objectives of the West with Klaus Schwab, with the big pharmaceutical companies, the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, the Bank of International Settlements, all of the major banking vehicles that exist. Russia, through Putin, had to find a way to get Russia and the BRICS countries out of the gravitational pull of the Federal Reserve, the British, Pilgrim Society. Boy, it gets deep. I'm thinking of things right now that I just can't cover because I don't have the time, but it's okay. They'll be covered in the future. These points that I can't cover right now will be covered in the future. America cannot be saved. Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, is going to be destroyed about 7 years and 90 days, roughly, before the United States is destroyed, before Christ returns. And the Bible is very specific and gives accurate timelines as far as years, months, with the coming war that Russia will be involved in with these other countries that I mentioned earlier in the program, China will not be involved. But right now, Russia and China do have a partnership. And due to this partnership, what we term the New World Order, this new order of the ages, has been scuttled. It's going to morph into something completely different. But the objective initially, going back to the late 1800s, with Cecil B. Rhodes and other men, that objective, where there will be a one world global order. And what is not known about the one world global order is it was going to be a total satanic order globally. In other words, Satan at one time controlled a planet that is no longer in our solar system. It was destroyed and sent out into space. And that was the center of his activity with the fallen angels. Well, the globalists, I'll use that term, they are all members of secret societies who have sworn allegiance to the dragon in Revelation chapter 12. And they have willingly, just like the angels that rebelled against God and were fallen, these people also, rather than repent, which they will never do, they would prefer to spend eternity in eternal fire than to repent and be redeemed. They would prefer to serve Satan to the end, believing to the end that they are going to have, just like Satan's kingdom on another planet eons ago, they think this planet is going to be a satanic planet ruled by the devil. But we know in the book of Revelation, Christ is coming, and when he comes, he is going to once again take what was taken from him, what was usurped from his hand is going to be returned to him. He's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The globalists don't want the people of this country or the world to think that, to even consider the failure of their ages-old plan. They want a satanic world. All of the nations, all of the people of the world worshiping Satan. Well, there's going to be a huge number that will fall into that trap, but the whole world will not. It gets very deep. And if you read the book, chapter 13 in the book of Revelation, for the people of our time, God wanted the people of this time, this age, to know there are going to be two people, one beast and a second beast. They're called beasts because they have no nature of a human. They are something apart from what you would consider to be human. They are abnormal to the point of being beasts. Christ wanted our time, the people of our world, to see that these two individuals are going to be the head of a kingdom that serves the devil. This is what is depicted, presented. This is what is evident in the book of Revelation chapter 13. Do these people know what that chapter is talking about? They do. And they know they're going to be given permission to build some type of sophisticated technology, advanced through demonic powers, a way in which there's going to be eventually a image that must be worshipped, like an avatar. And those that don't worship the image, take a number or take a mark, they can't buy, they can't sell. And this is a kingdom where these two individuals from this kingdom, they will punish the people of the world who will not go along and yield to their objectives, their plans. This is where we are. This is going to happen in the next 4 years. Four and a half years, I will say. Yeah, let's say 4 years. Yeah, maybe four and a half. We'll give a little extra, fudge a little bit. Russia, Vladimir Putin, I think next summer of 2026, I do not see the powers of the West allowing Russia to go another year and a half without major conflict, not just in Ukraine, but with America involved, with the NATO and nations such as, well, yeah, France, Germany, they're NATO nations. I don't see the powers that be waiting another year and a half till the summer of 2027. Why do I say summer? Because according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, the two chapters, one is a little more detailed than the other, the judgments that come are judgments that would take place in warm weather, not in frigid. You're not going to move troops in the wintertime. You're going to move troops, most likely, though you may not want to, move troops in the late spring or early summer. But the judgments are judgments that would occur in the summer. So I don't see Russia, and I think it's going to be Vladimir Putin, that is going to bring the armies of Russia south with Iran, Turkey, maybe even some military operatives out of Ukraine, maybe Azerbaijan, a few other nations, Ethiopia out of Africa, Libya. Like I say, I'm going to do on the Olive Tree site here on the podcast, thispresenttruth.com, thispresenttruth.com, and you open up, you go to the podcast section, and you have two sites, This Present Truth and the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site. I'm going to do the Sunday program for the Christian people. More specifically, going into detail about what is presented in this great Russian war that is coming, I believe, in 2026. So I just mention this so that you can, for you that you who are not, let's say, religious or believe in God, still, once you listen to these programs and the prophecies in the Bible, you'll have a tendency to begin to believe that the Bible definitely is real and should be read, should be considered in your lifetime, at some point in your life. If the Pentagon of this country, if the rulers of this country and Europe believe in the Bible and they're trying to scuttle the prophecies in the Bible, if they believe it, and if the devil worshippers believe it, then maybe you should consider paying attention to what the Bible says, especially the Bible prophecies of our time. Now I'm going to leave, and I'm going to continue, hopefully every day, having a new program on. But I'm going to have to end for now. Again, return to This Present Truth. Rick Rodriguez, have a great rest of your day, and join me again. Bye for now.